Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Monday, October 13th, 2008. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber, and it's a joy and a responsibility we feel this morning in sharing a portion of God's Word with you in our ministry that we call DailyEncouragement.net. Today's message is titled, Bad Apples. The very brief scripture text, which is actually from the Apostle Paul, but reads like a proverb, is from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33.
Bad company corrupts good character.
Our pastor preaches colorful sermons, often using his own experiences in life as illustrative material. Yesterday, he told a story that will not soon be forgotten. He was headed home from several days of vacation with his family and stopped for a cup of coffee. As they got on the interstate, they ran into several major traffic jams. The longer they sat in idle traffic, the more pressing the need was to find a bathroom.
Well, most all of you have been in that situation and will quickly identify with our pastor's dilemma. After passing several exits with no bathroom facilities, Bob was greatly relieved to spot a row of porta-potties off to the side of the interstate. It was kind of like finding a roadway in the wilderness. Making a beeline for them, he went to the first one, and as he opened the door, he was blasted back by the strong, foul odor.
As we would say in Missouri, the smell was bad enough to gag a maggot. Well, he stated that he galvanized himself to go in and take care of business and wasted no time in running back to his car. As soon as he got in, his grown daughter looked at him and said, "Dad, you smell awful." It seems the strong smell of the porta potty lingered in his clothing, and it did so the entire way home. Upon their arrival home, the clothes were immediately placed in the laundry. Well, after the service yesterday, we sure had a good laugh about this experience with Lou Ann, Bob's wife, and his mother-in-law, who was also riding in the car at the time. Well, Bob's point in the sermon was the malodorous effects of sin.
The title of his sermon was A Good Apple in a Bad Bunch, based on the life of Lot. He began his message by observing the effects of one bad apple in a bunch of good apples. The bad apple will spoil the good apples, so you must get rid of the bad apple if you want to keep the good ones. And the reverse is true as well. Placing one good apple among a bunch of bad apples will cause the good apple to rot, such as the corrosion of unchecked sin in our lives.
Well, Lot made a critical choice when he chose the more lush grazing land in the valley for his flocks. That was back in Genesis chapter 13 when he and Abraham parted company. This led him to pitch his tent near Sodom, we read in Genesis 13, verse 12. Well, even at this time, the scripture describes, quote, "The men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord," end quote. But Lot prospered, and in time married, had two daughters, and by Genesis chapter 19, he had moved in closer and had a house in Sodom.
Genesis 19 is one of the most pathetic chapters of Scripture. Lot, who had been raised under the influence of godly Abraham, was so immersed in the sin of Sodom that his judgment was completely gone. Sodom had become his home, and leaving was very difficult. But God's appointed time of judgment had come, and it always will. And in answer to his uncle Abraham's fervent prayers, he and his family would be delivered.
But my, was it hard for Lot to leave. As destruction of the city loomed, there are two words that are so telling. He hesitated. The King James Version states he lingered. Matthew Henry's commentary notes, Lot lingered, he trifled. Thus many who are under convictions about their spiritual state and the necessity of a change defer that needful work.
Well, Lot had grown very comfortable in the wicked city of Sodom. Perhaps he had grown so accustomed to the wickedness that he no longer even saw it. What a tragic spiritual condition to be in. Perhaps his prosperity and position had blinded him to spiritual truths. His moral values are wretchedly twisted, and later in the chapter we see this twisted condition in his wife and daughters as well. Genesis 19 is indeed one of the saddest chapters in the Bible, showing man's depraved actions in a sin-ridden society. Well, let's fast forward that to our own generation, and we are seeing similar attitudes and actions in our day. Recently, a young popular singer received much publicity and media attention. His face was all over the covers of magazines when he announced his homosexuality. A man well known in the Hollywood circles who helped him rise to fame was asked what he thought of this announcement. Well, this was his response, and I quote him, "Good for him. If he said it, it's the right thing for him. Good for him. I don't think anyone cares. Let's face it, it's 2008. You know, who cares?"
Popular culture does not dictate what is right and wrong, though. God's Word does. I don't want to get comfortable in Sodom, and I consider the Sodom of our own day. I don't want to hesitate when God directs me to act. I don't want to follow the mindset of this present world, but rather the timeless message of God's eternal truth. I end with this scripture text from 1 Timothy 6:11. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. What about you today?
Let's all pray together. Father, you make your truths known to us through the ancient words of Scripture. Truths that do not change with time or the ever-changing truth of humankind. With the Holy Scriptures as our guidebook, we align human philosophy with your truths rather than address Scripture to affirm the viewpoint of man. When Scripture brings conviction, we call upon you for strength and courage to make the necessary changes so that we live holy lives set apart for your intended purpose. Then we can more clearly distinguish light from darkness and will keep the forces of evil from overtaking our hearts' affections. We pray for our loved ones who are in bondage to sin. They've sought the world's approval and forsaken your commands, seeing them as out of date, no longer pertinent to our day. Satan has corrupted their minds, but I pray that you would sensitize their hearts to godly teaching. Bring them to the point of repentance and righteous living. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Today has been a longer and a little bit different nature of message than we normally teach. Our website is dailyencouragement.net. Again, this is the message we prepared for October 13th, 2008. We do have a number of photos up on the site related to our experiences of the weekend, including one that's very funny. And I'll just leave that dangling a bit if you care to look. It's there. We also have a couple of songs we suggest today. Both of them are the contemporary type of music that is much easier to find, by the way, on the web than hymns that we perhaps might like to use. The two songs we have today are Ancient Words. We sang both of these at church yesterday. And the song Give Us Clean Hands. And these are available as links to open up. I believe they're YouTube videos I have up today that open up on your computer. And I basically play it for the audio, but they're easiest to find using the YouTube video. So many people put music up that way. Well, thanks for joining us today. May God give you grace and just strength to endure in this time that we live in staying faithful to God.